Hi, and welcome to Student Voice Weekly. I'm Dr. Stuart Gray, founder of Student Voice, and today's theme is resilience and trust. Why clear goals, neutral surveys, and boring operational discipline are suddenly the most strategic things you can do. Today, I'd like to talk about a simple idea. If students are wobbling, staff are exhausted, and complaints are rising, a lot of it comes back to clarity and trust. Clarity in what good looks like, trust that feedback is collected properly, and trust that when students tell you something, it does not get flattened into a score and ignored. Because this touches teaching and assessment, I will say it explicitly, I still teach part-time at the University of Glasgow. So when I say clear standards, I do not mean a policy on a website. I mean what students hear in week two, what they see in the rubric, what they get back in feedback, and what happens when they ask a question and get three different answers. So let's start with the main story, which is about resilience, but not in the usual well-being framing. Main story. Resilience lives inside course design, not just support services. There is a mixed method study of 1,068 students, linking resilience to active learning and crucially to clear goals and standards from teaching staff. The key thing is this, students can cope with challenge. What breaks people is avoidable ambiguity. When expectations feel hidden, when success feels like guessing what the marker wants, students burn mental bandwidth on interpretation rather than learning. Universities often respond by routing that strain into well-being services. More signposting, more workshops, more messages about coping. Some of that helps, but the risk is you treat a design problem like an individual deficit. So here is the practical takeaway. If clear goals and standards are a resilience variable, then it is something you can manage like any other part of the student experience. It becomes an operational control for strain. Three things I would do. First, stop treating clarity as more communication. Students do not need more words, they need fewer contradictions. Consistency across tutors, seminars, and markers matters more than another paragraph in the handbook. Second, pair active learning with clarity. Active learning without clear standards can increase stress because it raises exposure and uncertainty at the same time. Make sure students know what good participation and good work look like before you turn up the intensity. Third, use assessment design to remove guesswork. Exemplars, short assessment briefings, and aligned rubrics are not add-ons. They are resilience infrastructure. Now, that links directly to what students are actually saying when they talk about excellent teaching. Research worth using. What students actually mean by teaching excellence. There is a UK study from Warwick that explores what students mean by teaching excellence. It is small, 79 surveyed and focus groups with 11, so it is not definitive. But it is useful because it unpacks a phrase we often treat as self-explanatory. Students describe excellence as a mix of support, responsiveness, and opportunities for growth and development. Why does that matter right now? Because we keep compressing excellence into a single number, a satisfaction score, a dashboard metric, a TEF headline, then staff feel judged by something vague, and students feel unheard because their specific point has been averaged away. This study is a reminder that when a student says excellent, they might mean when something went wrong, I was supported. Or the lecturer adapted when we raised a problem. Or I was stretched and I grew. Those are different dimensions and they lead to different actions. So if you are collecting any kind of overall rating, make sure you also capture what dimension the student is rating. Otherwise you cannot improve it, you can only argue about it. And if you are writing TEF narratives, evidence the dimensions. Do not just say students are satisfied, show how support works, how responsiveness works, and how growth is designed into the learning experience. That brings us to the sector signals, because the integrity of student feedback and survey processes is under scrutiny. Sector watch. The boring governance details that stop you getting into trouble? Two things to watch. First, the Office for Students has refreshed guidance on NSS promotion. The principle is familiar. Encourage participation, do not influence responses. But two details are easy to miss in day-to-day practice. One, do not share live response rates with students during fieldwork. It feels motivational, but it can create pressure and distort behavior. It also creates the impression the university wants a particular outcome, not just participation. Two, avoid running similar institutional surveys alongside NSS. If students are surveyed out, NSS becomes just another questionnaire. Confusion about what is anonymous, what is internal, and what is national is an integrity risk. So Treat NSS fieldwork like an evidence collection period with neutral conditions. No coaching, no noise, no accidental pressure. Second, the OFS has corrected TEF data dashboard calculations. The maths is not the point. Governance is the point. If you have packs going to committees or drafts of narrative, you need basic version control. Re-download the data, note release dates, and rerun your outputs. The risk is not just embarrassment, it is internal trust collapse. If staff stop believing the data, cynicism grows around student surveys. Students notice that cynicism and feedback becomes performative rather than useful. Again, we are back to trust. What this means for student comments, separate clarity from difficulty and support. If you want a practical way to read student comments this week, separate three things that often get merged. First, difficulty. This was hard. Difficulty is not automatically a problem. Second, clarity. I didn't know what was expected. The marking felt random, mixed messages. The rubric didn't match the feedback. Clarity issues create strain without creating learning. Third, support and responsiveness. I asked and nobody replied. I didn't feel able to ask. I wasn't taken seriously. That links directly to the Warwick framing of excellence as responsiveness and support. The key thing is not to dump all of this into one bucket called assessment and feedback, and then issue a generic action like remind staff about criteria. Good analysis asks, is this about redesigning assessment, standardizing interpretation across markers, or changing response behaviors? And listen for the language. Clarity problems show up as unclear, confusing, kept changing, hidden expectations. Those are often fixable process issues. One thing to try this week, a two-question clarity check, then act on one thing. Here is a simple move you can do this week without launching a big survey. Run a midpoint check-in with two questions. One scaled question, right now, how clear are you on what good work looks like for the next assessment? 5-point scale. One open text question, what is the main thing that would make expectations clearer in the next 2 weeks? Then, do the bit people skip, act on one thing quickly, and close the loop. When you review comments, sort them into four buckets. One, timing, when information arrives. Two, clarity, what criteria actually mean. Three, consistency, different staff saying different things. Four, usability, where information sits and whether exemplars exist. Pick one fix you can deliver within a week. Publish an exemplar. Add a short rubric walkthrough. Agree a single interpretation note for markers and tutors. Put the key document where students actually look. Then say plainly, you said X, we've done Y, here's where it is. That is how you build resilience and trust at the same time. Less guesswork for students, fewer repeat emails for staff, and a feedback culture that feels like dialogue rather than extraction. Closing. That is it for this week. The full set of links and summaries is in Student Voice Weekly. If you work with student feedback and want the research, regulation, and sector signals in one place each week, you can subscribe at studentvoice.ai. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you next Friday.